How much would you pay to stop receiving spam? Well, you pay 37 cents to send a letter by postal mail, so would 1 cent seem like too much to send an email? Not according to Bill Gates. He's recommending that email providers charge users up to a penny for each message they send. And that way, Gates says, big-time spammers would be hit with big-time bills. But how would it affect you? Joining us now by phone from Trumansburg, New York, is John Levine, co-author of the popular books Internet for Dummies and Fighting Spam for Dummies. And, John, good to have you on the program.
Hi, glad to be here.
First of all, how exactly is Bill Gates' plan supposed to work?
I haven't the faintest idea. The ideas of e-postage have been around literally for decades. In the 1980s, there were, in fact, email systems that charged 10 cents a message. They all disappeared when they connected to the Internet because people preferred systems that were flat rate like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at these issues. In fact, I've even written a white paper on it. And the overhead costs and the infrastructure that you would need to collect a penny per message would just be overwhelmingly enormous. And beyond that, you'd have practical issues like, let's say a spammer infects your computer with a virus and sends out 10,000 spams. Who's going to pay the postage?
Presuming you could get the practical matters resolved, and Mr. Gates has some legitimacy on this question, you have to admit that, but would this really keep spam out of our inboxes?
I have to say it's largely a hypothetical question. I mean, would it keep spam out of our inbox? I suppose so, but I think the practical effect would be we keep all the other mail out of your inbox as well. I mean, the majority of the mail, legitimate mail I get, is from mailing lists run by volunteers or run by free sites like Yahoo Groups. And having to pay e-postage would completely kill all those free lists. Furthermore, I get a lot of mail from overseas. I get mail from people in Thailand. I get mail from people in Africa. And simply, you know, collecting a penny per message that would amount to a few dollars per month for an American isn't very much, but for people in the third world, it would be enormous, even assuming we had some way to move a few cents from back and forth between American ISPs and third world ISPs.
Well, again, we pay attention to this, and it's not exactly a new proposal, but it's new from Bill Gates. What about systems that use code or time deterrence? In other words, if you send an email, you'd have to, for everyone you sent out, you'd have to donate 10 seconds of your computer's time. How would that work?
That's a scheme known as Hashcash, based on some early work that's been going on actually since 1990. And by a complete coincidence, the woman who invented it is an old friend of mine from high school. And although she's a very smart software designer, it has enormous practical problems too. Mostly that different people's computers run at very different speeds. A really high-speed computer might be able to solve a problem in a tenth of a second, whereas grandma's old 486 might take 5 or 10 minutes for the same problem. And then once you get beyond that, then you have spammers who have a history of hijacking large numbers of computers all around the world, and if they have farms of tens of thousands of computers, which they do, they can solve an awful lot of problems to send an awful lot of spam.
Well, it sounds like you're coming up to the conclusion that there is no practical way to get rid of spam.
I think there are ways to get rid of spam. One thing, though, is that there is definitely no magic bullet. I mean, I liken spam to curing cancer, and the cancer is not one disease, it's 100 diseases. And for us to cure cancer, we're going to have to come up with 100 different cures for 100 different problems. And similarly with spam, there's a whole bunch of different varieties of spam. There's the stuff that's fraudulent, there's the stuff that's sent through hijacked computers, there's the stuff that's sent from legitimate companies that buy lists they shouldn't have bought. And those all have different approaches. I mean, there are things we can do about it. I mean, there's some reasonable approaches to authenticate senders better so we can reliably tell where mail is coming from and decide whether we want it or not. And we definitely need more effective anti-spam laws like the junk fax laws we have. But one thing isn't going to fix it, but many things put together, I think, will.
The analogy a lot of people draw is to the do not call list that has stopped at least mitigated the flow of dinner time phone calls from telemarketers.
Yes, the do not call list is very effective, and Senator Schumer last year put together an anti-spam bill that actually had a do not spam list in it that I worked with his staff on. And a do not spam list could work if, and this is an enormous if there were legal sanctions for people who violated it. The reason the do not call list works is because if a telemarketer calls you and you're on the list, you have the right to sue him for $500. And although most people don't sue, enough do that telemarketers know that it's not worth their time to violate that.
So there would have to, I mean, there's clearly not $500 worth of damage for one call, so that this has to be a law.
Yeah, it's the Telecommunications Privacy Act of 1990 specifically says if you send people a junk fax or if you call people who've told you not to call you, then the law specifically says it's $500 for violation. And it's enough that, you know, it's enough that you can sue for it in a small claims court, and it's a nuisance suit to the person who's violated it. But enough of those will simply persuade the junk callers, in this case the spammers, that there are greener fields to go bother someone else.
Well, thanks very much for this. Very quickly, is that legislation going anywhere?
I don't think so. The Canned Spam Act passed in December was supposed to be the magic bullet that would give us the legal solution. I don't think it's going to work. If you visit my website at internetprivacyforprivacyfordummies.com, it has some discussions about all these things.
John Levine, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to do it.
John Levine is co-author of the books Internet for Dummies and Fighting Spam for Dummies, and he was with us on the phone from Trumansburg, New York. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.